All right. Thank you so much for being here. If you have a Bible or your favorite Bible app, you can look up Mark chapter 6, the book of Mark chapter 6. That video is one that we'll be looking at several stories like that throughout this month. This is a special emphasis month for North American missions. And when you give to Bridge Church in our brown baskets or online, then a portion of that goes to support missionaries serving all around the world. And through the North American Mission Board, about 4,300 missionaries right here in the United States, like her in Boston, serving the needs of people there. And then about 6,000 missionaries and all around the outside of the United States through the International Mission Board. And we're partners with them. We'll be going on some trips with them in the future. So thank you for your generous support. And during this special month of emphasis for prayer for North American missions, we'll be sharing some of these stories and some ways that you can pray and maybe give above and beyond to support missionaries just like this young lady in Boston. So, well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue kind of studying through questions Jesus asked. Or the title of this series has been, Are You Still So Dull? And other questions Jesus asked. And next week, we'll get to our highlight question, Are You Still So Dull? Which is one of my favorite all-time verses in the Bible, because I hear that all the time, right? But thank you so much for being here. Wow, it's already March, right? March 3rd. Tomorrow is Star Wars Day, right? March 4th. March 4th. I've heard that. But yeah. Okay, that's May 4th. Okay, March 4th is something else. Yeah, March 4th is something else. You'll see it on Facebook in the morning, whatever it is, okay?
Leave the Star Wars to Chris.
Okay, I should have not used a movie reference with Chris in the room. He's always the correct. But anyway, March is here, which also means Easter season. We're in this season here in South Louisiana that we refer to as Lent, which is just a preparation time for Easter. And Easter this year is in March, March 31st. And I always like to say it's a very special time of heightened spiritual awareness. So as we run up to Easter, many of your friends that don't go to church will consider and think about attending church. As a matter of fact, I've read that something like 70% of atheists attend church on Easter. Okay? So now is a ripe time to be about inviting people to attend church or attend a small group or just to consider their relationship with Christ. And we have some invite cards on the tables on your way out that you can invite them to Bridge Church. And there are also people that might only come to a church like this. That's why we do this here at the YMCA, because it's different. No frills, simple church. Church in a gym. And something a little different may capture the attention of your friends, and they can come and hear the gospel on Easter or any other Sunday. So be about inviting, looking for those spiritual openings, and think about people that you know that are far from God or prodigals from the faith, and they will be thinking about whether this story is true or not during this month. So let's be about the business of helping them think through that and being faithful witnesses. Well, this morning we turn to another old favorite story of Jesus, and that is of one of the times that Jesus fed 5,000 people. Now, there's another story where he fed 4,000, so this is the feeding of the 5,000. Certainly, you've heard this story. This story is actually referenced sometimes in pop culture and things like that about the loaves and fish becoming thousands and Jesus turning this great miracle. And so we want to look at this story this morning, and there's a question in here that we all also need to consider for our own lives. So let's start at verse 30, and we'll read it once, and then go back through and look for some ways we can apply it to our lives. It says, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Now, the disciples were just coming back from a mission trip, okay? Jesus had, previously in this chapter, he had sent them out, two by two, into surrounding towns and villages to spread the message that good news is here. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And so they come back from this mission trip, and they're telling Jesus about all the amazing things that they had done. Now, also, right before this, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded by King Herod. And so there was this moment of great spiritual exhilaration, but also this moment of great grief. And so that goes into the next verse 31. Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." Again, Jesus had just lost his cousin and friend, and he knew his fate in the future would be similar to that of John. So Jesus obviously wanted to get away. He said, "Come away with me to a remote place, rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. It's a busy season. And it says, so they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place, but many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns. Again, the disciples had gone to all the towns and villages and told about Jesus, and people wanted to come and see. And the people arrived ahead of them. So when Jesus went ashore, there was a large crowd. And what did Jesus do? It says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he began to teach them many things. Verse 35, when it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted or desolate, and it's already late. Send these people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and find a Chick-fil-A or something and buy themselves something to eat." In verse 37, Jesus says to them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" In verse 38, here's our question for today. "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. Now, the old King James translation says about this verse, it says, "There was much grass in the place." Now, when I used to do prison ministry and we'd talk about this story, that would always be a high amen time right there, right? Some of you older ones will remember when. Anyway. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And he kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. And everyone ate and was satisfied. And they picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Interestingly enough, one for each of the disciples, right? And now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. So this is one of those incredible miracles that we know that Jesus did. Right up there with walking on the water and turning water into wine. And Jesus also fed thousands with just a few loaves and a few fish. But the inside of this story is really a lesson for disciples. And it goes to that question, how many loaves do you have? Jesus was wanting to kind of teach, use this as a teaching moment to meet this great need of the people, but also to teach those that he would need to not see impossibilities, but possibilities and probabilities when you have the power of Jesus. And Jesus wanted his disciples to know his great power to provide. It's the same thing he wants us to know today. He needs us to know that nothing is impossible with him. And when we're out there on mission with him, we can expect the impossible and improbable to happen. So what happens in this story? Well, we see Jesus is calling for a retreat and for rest. And one thing to note here is we need to make sure we as Americans know rest is okay. And Jesus says it right here. As a matter of fact, the old King James translation here says, "Come apart with me and rest a while. And my old country preacher I grew up with, he used to always say, you need to come apart or you'll come apart. Okay, so there's a place for rest in our lives. And we all need to make sure we're getting plenty of rest. As a matter of fact, the Bible commends a Sabbath, which is one day out of seven needs to be for rest and worship. And that Sabbath was an extreme rest. The Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, the Israelites were commanded, don't build a fire in your house. Don't collect food. It was complete rest. It was don't turn on the lights. It was shut your body down and just rest and think about all God has done for you. And we find that very hard to do in our day and time because we have so many lights on everywhere, right? And we have so much to do and so many things coming at us. But we need to make sure we're doing this like Jesus says. Come away by yourself to a remote place and rest for a while. Now, not too much, okay? Remember, one day out of seven. The other 6 days, the Bible says, 6 days you are to do your work, okay? But one day, and there's seasons maybe where we'll need to come apart, to come away and rest. And that's what Jesus was seeking to do, partly because the disciples had been on this mission trip, they needed rest, partly because he had just suffered the loss of his cousin and friend and ministry partner, John the Baptist, who was beheaded by King Herod. But the retreat was cut short because when they got to the place where they were going to retreat, a crowd who had followed them was there. And what do we see? We see Jesus' great compassion for people. It says he had compassion on the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them. So he didn't say, I'm sorry, you'll have to make an appointment. Or, I'm sorry, we'll be beginning ministry later on this week. He met their needs. He responded to the needs of people. So even this retreat was not enough to stop Jesus' love for people. And he saw them, his compassion drove them to see their deepest needs. This is a question I always have. We see lots of crowds. We hustle and bustle by people all the time. People are in our way. People won't get out of the fast lane. You know, people order too much in line at PJ's. And I'm like, you know, okay, I'm trying to get by here. And so I often don't see the deepest need people have. And I love this, that Jesus, his compassion, and he saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. Now, sheep without a shepherd are, they say, aimless. They're directionless. Sheep without a shepherd will just run or follow the one in front of them right off a cliff and die and kill themselves. And aimless, directionless. Sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable to enemies because they can't protect themselves. They have no defensive capabilities on their own. So they're very vulnerable to enemies. So shepherds provide protection. And sheep without a shepherd, they say, are just unable to find food. They're not hunters. They'll eat the food before them, but then somebody else has to provide them with more food. And this is how Jesus saw us, the people. This is who we are. We are without Christ, without others. We can find ourselves in these places of being aimless, directionless, unable to find protection from enemies, unable to find our true spiritual food. And so Jesus says, I'll step in. My compassion, I want to be the shepherd for these people. So the Bible says he begins to teach them. We need this same thing from Jesus today. That's why Psalms 23, which we'll study later this year, the first line is so great. And it's one I think about all the time when I'm feeling. Do you ever feel aimless? Do you ever feel vulnerable? Do you ever feel like, hey, I need more nourishment? I need more strength? Well, you know what? You can turn and you can pray Psalms 23:1, which says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. or I shall not want. Maybe it's a translation you memorize. But the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And Jesus steps in. He says, I want to shepherd these people. He even set aside his plans for retreat to teach them. So the question I ask when I think about Jesus and how he responded to this crowd is, you know, one, what do I see when I see the crowd? Do I just see distractions? Do I just see people in the way? Or am I able to find that compassion of Christ in my heart? Do I just have contempt for aimless, vulnerable, unsafe people? Or am I following the way of Jesus and finding ways to be a shepherd? Or, more importantly, to lead them to the great shepherd of our souls. So tomorrow, every person you meet, every person you look in the eyes of, every person you have a conversation with, they're either, they have a great shepherd, or they're a person without a shepherd. And so you and I need to be like Jesus and have that great compassion and say, I see this person's deepest needs, and I want them to know the great shepherd of our souls. So Jesus set aside his plans for retreat, and he spent the day teaching them. And the Bible says in verse 35 that it grew late. So his disciples came to him and said, hey, this place is deserted. Let's let these people go and find something to eat. Now, this is seems like a very rational and logical way to think. The disciples saw this problem. These people need food, right? And the disciples did this. I would probably say this same thing. And in a sense, what they were saying is, this is not our problem. We can't do anything about this. It's their problem. Let them fend for themselves. And then on really bad days, I might say, they should have planned better. This is their problem, not mine. And we can often deflect the deep needs of people, you know, as just being not my problem. But what does Jesus say in 37? He says, no, this is your problem, because he looks at them and says, you give them something to eat. Here's Jesus' challenge for these disciples. And I think for all disciples that would follow, he says to them essentially, I want you to take responsibility for the needs of these people. I want you to take responsibility for the needs of others. Hey, I'm going to call you to take responsibility for the needs of others. If we're going to spread the gospel to the whole world, you're going to have to feel and own the responsibility to care for others. That's what Jesus' call to disciple-making is all about, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That is about taking responsibility for the spiritual well-being of others. Have you done that? Do you own that responsibility of others? Or do you just say, well, there's churches everywhere, they can find one, or you know, I hope they, you know, find a place where they can experience Jesus. Are you deflecting that or saying, I will be the one to make sure that person hears and responds to the gospel? I'll do all that I can to let people know about Jesus. Jesus is called a servanthood. It's all about taking responsibility for the physical and spiritual needs of others. Like the video we watched, the young lady who's taken responsibility for people on the streets in Boston. There needs to be a tug on our heart. There's some need that God has created us to meet. The Bible says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that was prepared beforehand for us to accomplish. So you need to ask, what is that good work that God has created me and saved me to take responsibility for? There's some issue that God has laid on your heart and yours alone that maybe He wants you to champion and take responsibility for. So is it care for kids without families? Is it the salvation of people in multi-housing facilities? Is it a country that's in a difficult way, like Haiti or like Honduras or other places, what is that need on your heart that you try to deflect? Oh, it's not my problem. Maybe one day. Maybe God's calling you to take responsibility. Maybe God is saying to you, you give them something to eat. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, he is definitely going to say to you at some time, you give them something to eat. Or you show them how to be saved. Or you help them overcome this obstacle. Or you walk with them through this difficulty. Or you give so that they can grow and eat and drink and live. This is not just somebody else's problem. We don't pay the preacher to do that. God says to every follower of Jesus, eventually, you give them something to eat. You take responsibility and ownership for the needs of people around you to know Christ, but also, I'm going to use you in some special way in your life. I've created you to do that. So the question is, am I ready to say yes to Jesus? Or am I just going to be like the disciples and play the send them away card? Or, Lord, send someone else, or maybe one day, but not today. And that can seem quite logical. As a matter of fact, the disciples had logic behind this. I did the math here. Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Well, here's the logistics of this. A denarii was one day's wages, okay? One day's wages. So they said it would take 200 days' wages to give them something to eat. So, okay, let's do a little math here. Median income in St. Tammany is about $77,000. So 200 days of that would be about $42,000, a little over $42,000. So if you divided that by 5,000, the crowd was 5,000, that's $8.43 per plate. That's about what a box lunch at Chick-fil-A will get you, right? So they had pretty good logistics here. That's pretty good planning. I do some meal planning for large groups sometimes, and they actually did pretty good at that. So even logic. Jesus wasn't interested in the numbers, the logic. He just wanted them to experience His power at work. So Jesus turned and said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." In other words, and this is very important for us who often have a lot of excuses. Jesus said, "I'm not worried about what you don't have. What do you have?" See, we often, make all kind of excuses because, "Well, I don't have what? Time. I don't have money. I don't have skills. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the words. I don't have all that." But you know what? I think Jesus is saying to all of us, "How many loaves do you have?" I'm not worried about what you don't have. Jesus knows what you don't have because He's giving you everything you've got anyway right now. He's asking, "What do you have?" The disciples went and found another story. By the way, this is one of the only stories that's told in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the other versions says they found a small boy who had five pieces of bread and two fish, and he brought them to Jesus. And so they only had five pieces of bread, two fish to feed thousands. The Bible says 5,000 men. They may have not even counted women and children. So we could be talking about a group of 15, 20, 25,000 people potentially. And they had five loaves and two fish. So Jesus instructed them. They got them organized in groups of hundreds and 50s. And then He took what they had and Jesus blessed it. And Jesus broke it. And they gave it out. 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 And then in the end, Each of the disciples, with all their logistics, had a basket full for themselves. You see, what this teaches is a different kind of math. Here's the way we do math in the kingdom. 5 loaves plus 2 fish plus Jesus equals more than enough for everybody. It's a spiritual principle that defies logic. It defies our planning. But it's something we as believers need to count on. Jesus needs to be a part of every equation. It does away with our doubt. It does away with our uncertainty. And it can make us believe for big things. So whatever you have right now, plus Jesus, will equal more than enough. Now we can do this equation another way as well. Whatever you have without Jesus will always equal never enough. Have you felt that? Well, it just seems like, you ever said to yourself, I never have enough money. Well, is Jesus part of your financial equation? Are you obeying Jesus in regard to your money? Are you trusting Jesus to provide for your family? Have you ever said, I just seem to never have enough rest? Whatever you have without Jesus will be never enough. I never have enough pleasure. I never have enough recognition. It's kind of like that meme I see sometimes that come across social media where a person says, I just feel terrible today. And the other person says, did you get enough sleep? They say, no. Did you go outside? No. Did you exercise? No. Did you eat healthy today? No. Did you drink enough water? No. And they say, well, I don't know what the problem could be, right? And it's like that for the Christian. The Christian is saying, it seems like I never have enough of whatever. It's like, did you spend time with Jesus? Did you trust Jesus with that problem? Have you spent time in His Word, reading His promises? Did you pray today? Did you pray for others today? Have you served anyone lately? You see, it's Jesus that brings the plenty and the peace to every situation. So is He part of the equation of whatever you're needing? Jesus plus whatever you have will always equal more than enough. So here's a question this story wants us to ask. Is, you know, one is, what needs are around me? What needs are around me right now? The disciples had this need. These people need food. We could also ask it this way. What am I saying? What's coming to my attention that I'm saying often? That's not my problem about. It's not my problem. That's somebody else's problem. What needs are around me? What am I saying not my problem about? It may be that thing that Jesus wants you to meet. And then we can ask, what do I currently have? What do I currently have? Most of you in here, you have a home. That's something that you can use for Jesus. You have a car. You have an income. Don't say it's never enough, okay? What do I currently have, and am I leveraging that for the kingdom of God, for Jesus? And am I factoring in Jesus? Jesus' will, Jesus' words, and Jesus' power to provide. Now, I don't want to divorce this story from its context. The context was the mission of sharing Jesus and serving others. Remember, Jesus had just sent the disciples on their first mission trip. And Jesus Himself was here teaching thousands of people all day long. Jesus was sharing the gospel. And that's what He did. That's what He's called us to do. It's easy to apply this just to personal needs. And we should. Okay? Because the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on Him because He cares about you. But you know what I found? Where I really find Jesus' peace and power is when I'm out there on mission for Him. If you really want to know the power and peace of Jesus, get on mission. Start finding ways to serve His kingdom through His church, through your relational network with people that don't go to church or don't know Him. Get out on a mission trip. That's where we really experience the peace and power of Jesus. And that's the context of this story. So I wrote an article a few years ago that said, here are eight things that on-mission Christians never say. And one of them was, the mission of Jesus is boring. Okay. I've never heard a person that's really on mission for Jesus say life is boring. Because when you're out there giving of yourself, you get to know the exhilarating power of Jesus meeting every need. And you're led along. Somebody said it's like riding a wave. You catch a wave of Jesus' power, and you get to experience Him meeting needs through you. The last trip we took to Zimbabwe, we got a trip to Zimbabwe coming up this summer, Zimbabwe, Africa. It's going to be a long trip, so not everybody can do it. It's going to be 8 to 10 days. The last trip I went there, this happened to us. We had some food that we had bought, and we were taking it out to a village outside of the large city there in Zimbabwe. And we went to the wrong place. But we didn't know it because there's no Google Maps and stuff like that at this time in Zimbabwe. And we didn't know we were at the wrong place, and we were well received. It was an AIDS orphanage with about 150 kids whose parents had died mostly from AIDS. And we were there, and they acted like they expected us. But we realized pretty soon that we're at the wrong place. But you know what happened? The lady that was caring for these kids at this orphanage, she came out to us and she said, "It's amazing you've been here. We used our last food last night. And here you've showed up and you have all this food. This will feed us for 3 or 4 more days." All we did was get out there on mission. And we got involved with God meeting a great and powerful need there. We hope to return to that AIDS orphanage in June. So about 4 or 5 of you have signed up to potentially go on that trip. We'd love to have you join us on mission in Zimbabwe. But if you get out there on mission, you're all set to experience the exhilarating power of Jesus to meet every need. You don't have to go to Zimbabwe to do that. Make a list of your friends who are far from God or prodigals from the faith and pray for them. And then look for opportunities to meet with them and share with them your story of how you met Jesus. You know what? You'll feel the exhilarating power of Jesus because He promises to be there with anyone who's pursuing His mission of sharing the good news about Jesus with the world. So what are the spiritual needs around me? Who do I know that needs to hear and respond to the gospel? What opportunities to serve are there around me? What opportunities to share, to give, to go, are there around me? What do I currently have? A home, a vehicle, an income, a testimony. And am I leveraging all that for the mission of Jesus? If what you have seems like it's not enough, then let me ask you, have you factored out Jesus and His mission from your life? There's one more part of this context that we don't want to divorce from this story. The other part of this context is this. This happened at a moment of retreat and breakaway and rest. But Jesus demonstrates something for us. The needs of others need to go ahead of our own. He set aside His plans for the needs of others. We all have plans. And this is a question I want to ask. Does the needs of others ever take precedence over your plan? Now remember, we all need 1 day out of 7 for rest. But Jesus could have played the "I'm too tired" card here, right? But He didn't. I'm telling you, as one that often plays the "I'm too tired" card. And I love that Jesus didn't. He could have played the "they're too tired" card, but He didn't. And again, it circles me back to that great truth of my inability, even my weariness and my tiredness, plus Jesus equals more than enough. More than enough energy for the mission. More than enough power for the mission. And sometimes I wonder, is my lack of energy because I'm not out there on mission enough? Because Jesus promised energy and power for this mission. So the needs around me, who do you know? What do you see? What do I or we have? And what can I leverage for the mission of Jesus? Am I just looking at logistics or at the potential with what I have plus Jesus, plus His compassion, plus His power? This is what we want to do around our tables as we finish this message up this morning. I want to ask and maybe do a little workshop right here on this. What are the needs around me? Who do I know? What do I see as big needs in the world? And then what do I or we have that we can leverage to meet those needs? And remember, it's never enough is not an answer. We have all that we need in Jesus to meet the needs around us and even our personal and physical needs. So let's do that this morning. Let's take some time around our tables to think about the needs around us. Who do we know? What do we see? And what do we have to meet these needs in the power of Jesus? So if you're by yourself, jump at a table around you. Spend a few minutes kind of processing what we've heard and learned this morning.